PageantTalkZone.com.
It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes. This is the show that will inform and inspire you whether you're preparing for a pageant competition or just want to be an everyday beauty queen. We're here to help you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and welcome to Pageant Talk Radio. We have a really exciting show for you today with a very, very special guest. Today, we're devoting the entire hour to our very own Teresa Scanlon, Miss America. We're going to be talking to her about everything she's been experiencing as Miss America, from her exciting win in January to her travels all over the country, to motivating and inspiring young women to achieving their goals, and to speaking out on behalf of young women who are struggling with an eating disorder. So it's going to be a great show, and I know you're not going to want to miss it. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that the Miss America's Outstanding Teen Program is sponsoring a Teens in Training Camp workshop in August in Orlando. You absolutely don't want to miss it. And the best part, you can register now. You register right away. And if you're a lucky girl and win your state MAO teen pageant, you can get your registration fee back right away, no questions asked. They want to make sure you get your registration in now so that you get your spot reserved. To learn more information about the Teens in Training Camp, just click on the Teens in Training Camp graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page, and it'll take you to the internet website with all the exciting information about everything you can learn. And I will see you there in August. I also want to remind you that you absolutely should be getting your 4 Points magazine subscription. 4 Points magazine is the only magazine dedicated completely to the Miss America program. It's going to keep you informed and up to date about what's been happening and what's coming up next. So make sure you visit them at www.4pointsmagazine.com. I also want to remind you, if you're still preparing for your summer pageant, there's still time to get my 501 Perfect Pageant Practice Questions. It's a downloadable ebook. So when you click on the graphic, you order it and you can immediately access it and download it to your computer. It's the best way to make sure you're prepared to answer any question at your next pageant. So just click on the 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions and you'll be pageant fab. Well, as I mentioned, today we have a very special guest, Teresa Scanlon, who's joining us live from New York. She's had a busy, busy day, and she's joining us to talk to us a little bit about what it was like to win in Las Vegas in January and what her first few months as Miss America have been. As you know, Miss America is a spokesperson for the Miss America organization, which is the largest academic achievement and provider of women's scholarships worldwide. She also represents a variety of wonderful sponsors, including Joseph Ribkopf and Artistry Makeup. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Pageant Talk Radio one of our favorites already, Teresa Scanlon. Hi, Teresa.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited that you could be with us today. Tell me, now everybody wants to know, tell me what it's like when you're standing there and the auditorium is absolutely silent. You can hear a pin drop and you're all standing there wondering who's won. What was the first thought that went through your head when they announced your name?
Oh, goodness. Certainly a mind-blank moment, actually. I don't think anything comes to mind right then. It really is just a blur. It all happens so fast. But, you know, it's pretty intense in those final moments.
It is intense, isn't it?
Even as it came down to the top five, you know, and then once we knew we were, each of us knew we were in the top five, and we were backstage talking before we went on for the last time, and we just kind of took the time to say, you know, it's whoever it's meant to be this year is going to win that title and is going to do a fantastic job. You know, between all of those ladies, we felt at peace knowing that any one of them would have done such a great job as Miss America. And so knowing that, you're a lot more peaceful about it. You don't have to be worried or scared anymore. And that was kind of the whole process leading up to the competition, was finally coming to that point where I didn't have to worry about it anymore. I didn't have to stress about it. And I realized it really is out of my control. And, you know, sometimes that's something that it's hard for me to accept, that there's nothing I can do to make sure that I win. You know, becoming Miss America was certainly nothing that I did. But it was meant to be. It was God's will and purpose, and so that's why it happened. And so, you know, then when they announce your name and you realize that the next year of your life has changed forever, that you know that there's a purpose and a reason for that. And so when my name was announced and I realized this next year was going to be very different than I had ever expected, and I certainly never expected this to happen, but was prepared, was ready, thankfully, and I'm certainly enjoying every minute of it.
Well, let's talk about for just a minute the fact that you didn't necessarily expect it to happen, because I'm sure when you won your state title, of course, you competed as Miss Nebraska and represented Nebraska very well. You were only 17. You were still 17 right. in January in Las Vegas, and I'm sure you had tons and tons of people telling you, gosh, what a shame that you won your state title so young, because you could never win the national title at 17. How did you handle those kinds of comments, Teresa?
You know, for me, it really did become a challenge. It became a fun challenge, really, because I enjoy challenges. But and so it became a challenge to prove them wrong, a challenge to be a representative of my state, to represent young people, to represent teenagers well. And so I had all the more drive and purpose to be the best that I possibly could there at the competition. And so going into it, you know, I decided that win or lose, I wanted to go back home and be proud of the job I had done, not regret anything, and feel confident knowing I had done my best. And so that's just all you can do. You know, you don't know whether you're the youngest there, the oldest there, whether you're from a state that has never won before or a state that has won five times. You can't let those little factors that really don't make a difference get to you. You can't.
I totally agree with you. I think it's really, you know, people say comments, even if they're maybe well-meaning, oh, don't get your hopes up. There's no way you can win. You're too young. I mean, we recognize on one level that they're well-meaning, but what did you tell yourself? How did you respond at that moment? What was the self-talk going in your head to kind of balance what they were saying so that it didn't get under your skin?
To recognize that there's a first time for everything, and again, there's a plan and a purpose for everything. And so you can't, anytime someone said something like that, you know, I said, while that may be true, that Nebraska has never won Miss America, we'll see if it's meant to be this year. You know, while it may be true that I'm the youngest there and maybe they're not looking for a Miss America so young, maybe they are. Maybe that is what they're looking for and we've never had that before and this is going to be a new thing that they'll be willing to accept. So really, you just have to keep on telling yourself that you never know until you try. And that's what you have to tell yourself, not only with competing in pageants, but with everything in life. You never know until you try. And you can't let fear and you can't let doubts get in the way of that, because they can squelch so many things. They can keep you from really living life. But you have to dive into things head first and try for the first time, because you never want to look back and say, well, what if? What could have happened? You know, when I graduated high school a year early, I didn't know that I was ready to start competing right away. I thought maybe I should just take a year, you know, start college and then start competing. Well, I decided, no, there's no reason to do that. I'm just going to go for it. Just because I'm scared, because I don't think I'm prepared, doesn't mean I shouldn't try. So I went ahead and tried my first local. It was only a week after my birthday. I turned 17, just barely eligible, because it was the week after the last local of the pageant season. You know, it was that last week.
Oh, my gosh. You were just hanging in there by your teeth.
Exactly. It was and so I knew, you know, this is the last possible chance, so we'll see what happens, you know. So I did, and we saw what happened. I ended up winning, and I was, oh, my goodness, you know. Well, that was fun, but here I come to Miss Nebraska, and I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to win this. That was 2 weeks after I graduated. And I was like, I'm just coming out of high school. These girls are so much older than me at Miss Nebraska. I'm going to learn as much as I can. So all week long, I was writing in my journal, next year do this, and then do this next year, and change this for next time. And it was all about learning from all of them to do better the next year. And I thought I would keep competing for 5, 6, 7 years until I was too old and see what would happen. But that first year, I didn't feel ready, didn't feel prepared, but it happened anyway. And when you see that happen, you know there's a reason for that, because it's certainly, like I said, nothing I did, because I didn't feel ready or prepared at all. But then you realize what can happen from that when you just let yourself go and try it anyway, and don't let that fear keep you from trying something.
I think that's a really good point, because we never know when it's going, you know, when everything's right. going to come together in the right mm-hmm. place. You know, there's always that phrase, different judges, different winner.
Exactly.
I think you can't presume to win. No one should presume to win, but you can prepare to win
Absolutely.
So that when things are in the right place and the judges right. that, you know, like yourself, you can prepare to win so that you're ready when mm-hmm. that moment arrives
Absolutely.
So that you can step into that winning moment because you're prepared. Okay, but you actually had another kind of quote-unquote strike against you at the pageant because you were not competing in your own hair, Teresa.
No, I was not. You know, and that was something that everything came together there as well. Over the past few years, really, I was, you know, having trouble with my hair, and a lot of times, well, obviously at the pageant, you know, Miss Delaware, Kayla Martell, was bald and also competed
right.
in a wig, but people understand that with baldness and women's balding,
mm-hmm.
but not with hair damage. But you know what? Women don't need to be ashamed or scared of wearing wigs either, because it's for balding, it's for hair damage, hair loss, whatever it may be. And in
sometimes
my case,
it's just for convenience.
Right. And in my case, my hair was simply too damaged to use anymore. I needed to give it a break. I had to. So after Miss Nebraska, you know, I was trying to figure out what to do for the national pageant. So I did talk to Kayla and asked about that and realized, hey, that might actually be an option. So
mm-hmm.
I went down to Tampa, Florida for that and found out that it would be a perfect way to let my hair finally rest and heal so that it can continue to grow and strengthen and I won't have to keep on hurting it with chemicals, with heat, with straightening, with curling, with all of that. And let it rest. And hopefully, you know, a year or two, it will get better. And in the meantime, you wear a wig and it's easy to take care of and certainly saves me a lot of work.
Yeah, you don't really have to spend time doing that blow dry thing, do you, Teresa?
Just every week or so. So
yeah.
I get a lot
and
more
And I have
sleep
to imagine,
way.
So I have to imagine on the one hand, you've got a group of people saying, oh my gosh, you so can't win. She's 17. You're 17.
Right.
And then you've got this other group saying, you can't win. You have no hair. Right?
Right. Well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And were you like stuck between the two groups of people telling you how you were never going to win?
Well, you know, honestly, no one really said anything about the hair issue. That was kind of something I was just figuring out on my own. But it's funny mm-hmm. now that people say, oh, well, Miss America was wearing a wig. But then you find a lot of women that said, hey, if Miss America can be wearing a wig, then I guess it's okay that I'm wearing a wig, too. And that's the thing. You know,
well,
women should not be ashamed of that.
The best part about it is it really demonstrates that you don't have to be absolutely perfect.
Right.
You just have to present the very best self you are at that moment in time.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously you looked great in a wig. It didn't detract.
Oh.
You didn't let it impact your confidence and your poise and your sense of humor
right. well,
and personality
honestly,
in interview.
That and you know, that is, you hit right on that, is that you, not everybody has everything perfect. And
as
you know,
a matter of fact,
people,
I've yet to meet the perfect pageant girl.
Right. Exactly. You know, everybody's got an issue and mine mm-hmm. happens to be my hair. And so, you know, I do what I can. And this is one way of trying to help it so that it gets better for the future. But, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, is that, you know, she should be in her natural hair and that's cheating and this and that. But I'm sorry, I don't have perfect hair like other people do. You know, I look up to those who have naturally gorgeous hair, but not.
Well, if you can wear false eyelashes, there's no reason why you
right.
can't wear
exactly.
hair.
And that's the funny thing is, you know, it's hard to understand where that line is drawn between eyelashes and extensions and this and that, and so it's really no different. You know, so well, I don't really see a big deal with it.
Obviously, you know, both those situations, you know, you were able to, you know, incorporate into yourself so that they weren't detracting. So often it's easy for contestants to find excuses as to why they're not winning. And
right.
obviously you looked at it as a challenge and spurred you to
right.
be even better and learn even more. So kudos to you. You know, one of the questions that, you know, pageant fans and contestants have about the job of Miss America is they want to know how the travel works. So there you are on stage, you get crowned.
Mm-hmm.
You're whisked off stage. You have
right.
a few minutes to sign paperwork and, you know, greet your family privately. And then you go right to the press conference and then they go right to the coronation ball. What happens after the coronation ball?
You know, actually, it it does work in a little bit different order because I didn't see my family right away, really.
Oh, you didn't?
No, that wasn't until that, you know, the press conference and the coronation, that ball, that I got to see them. So after that, actually, then we go up to the suite by ourselves, and that's the time I get with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little bit.
And I bet
of,
that was a special moment.
Right, exactly. You get a little bit of time with your family and friends. You know, prior to that, all the state contestants fill out a form with 25 people that they would like to have in that private meeting afterwards. So 25 of my family and friends were there. You know, we got to meet them, and then everybody but immediate family left. So mm-hmm. we got a little bit more time with them, but by then it's late at night. So we talked
right.
a little bit, said goodbye. They left. I went to sleep. And bright and early Sunday morning is when all the paperwork signing and that gets done. So that Sunday morning we had, you know, a meeting with the whole team, go through what life is going to be like for the next year, and then we head off to the airport and fly to New York City by Sunday night. So it was
a busy weekend.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, you just keep going. And the one thing I can say is for those that want to prepare for that kind of travel schedule, that kind of lifestyle, and are wondering if they're ready, is you have to learn to be independent. Because if you are so dependent on one specific person or one specific thing, it's going to be really tough. But you have to be independent in a role like this. There are so many people there to support you and help you, yes, but it's so important to be able to do things on your own, to take initiative, to take care of yourself, because that's really what this is all about. You are on your own. You've got a big job all year long, and it is up to you. And so I know growing up I was very lucky to start becoming that person who was independent. And, you know, my parents, for the majority of my pageant experience, really did step back and say, this is your thing. You prepare. We're here for you if you need anything, but, you know, it's up to you. And so with any girl, no matter what age you are, you know, this started when I was 13. Whatever age you are competing, that is the thing you have to learn to do, is this is your responsibility, and take the initiative to make things happen, and don't rely so much on someone else or something else, because you have to be independent. It is your job and your responsibility to do that.
I think that's really good advice, because oftentimes contestants want to rely on their mom
right.
or perhaps a director or maybe a pageant coach or hair and makeup artist, and they want to rely on them so much. But what I try to tell contestants is when they're competing at the local and state level, and while they're the state title holder, they're really practicing their Miss America skills.
Exactly.
You're on the road a lot. You do have to be independent. You've got to pack a lot of great looks into two suitcases.
Right.
You have to be able to maintain a positive attitude. You have to know how to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you're traveling so much and meeting mm-hmm. so many people that you've got to be, you know, in good physical shape to keep up with the schedule. And the pageant office does a fabulous job. You would all be amazed at how few people actually run the Miss America organization.
Exactly.
Because of the amount of work that they churn out, it's just amazing. And your traveling companions, you can't really rely on just one person because they rotate in and out, right?
Exactly. Every other month you're with the other, and so they switch.
So they're
month.
A month on, a month mm-hmm. off.
Exactly. But, and you know, that is the thing, is that really all of those people that may be so part of your pageant preparation, you don't get them anymore once
you
win.
It's you and the traveling companion, right?
Exactly. So you can't be used to having, you know, tons of time to do this or that or lots of people as part of your preparation process. You know, it's up to you. Hair, makeup, everything, every day is up to you. And so it really is a process of trying to become low maintenance over the years as well, which is tough because, you know, in preparation and competing and all that, you want to always be, you know, really well prepared and look
right.
great and always put together. But at the same time, you want to learn to make do with less. You want to learn to be low maintenance and go with everything. And because that's the way it is, life on the road. That's how it goes,
right.
you know.
This is not a title for a pageant diva. This is a
exactly.
title for a girl who really wants to work hard and make a difference and impact the lives of thousands and thousands of people. And speaking of impacting the lives of other young women, talk to us for just a minute about why educating people about eating disorders is an important topic for you.
Well, you know, it has become an increasingly important thing to address, I think, especially in the pageant arena, because, you know, it's incredible. It's incredibly saddening to see how many people really do put together and correlate pageant contestants and eating disorders and expect you to, in order to compete, to be having to hurt yourself and deprive yourself in some way. And so I find it incredible now to having reached the level of Miss America to look back and say, to get here, I do not regret any of the decisions I made up to this point. I never had to hurt myself to get here. I promised myself when I started competing at 13 years old that I was never going to hurt myself to try to be successful in this program, because it's just not worth it. You know, you have to put your priorities in order and say that you as a person are more important than any crown. And so now trying to share that with others to let them know that that's not what they have to do to achieve this. And it's not just in pageantry, though. So, you know, I'm addressing it in every area of life.
Right. It's in athletics.
Right. Absolutely.
It's absolutely everywhere.
So
it's in dance. It's
right.
Everywhere.
And as a dancer, as a gymnast, you know, I saw that. And so many times, especially young women, think that to be more popular, well-liked, more beautiful, successful, whatever it may be, that somehow the size of their body is going to affect that. And
right.
They think that in order to achieve that, they have to hurt themselves, and that's simply not the case. And now the numbers are continuing to go up. There's about 20 million people in the U.S. right now that are struggling from eating disorders, and the mortality rate is so high. It's about 20%, which is huge. I mean, we can't afford to continue seeing teenage boys and girls dying from eating disorders. We can't continue to ignore such a huge problem. It's something that has to be addressed, and I am thrilled to be able to do that at this level.
And if you could speak out to someone, you know, the challenge with an eating disorder is that people who have an eating disorder rarely recognize they have an eating disorder, and it's usually a family member that has to intervene or a friend who brings it to their attention. So if you could give some advice to someone who's listening to the show today and has a friend or a family member that they would like to help them along their path to healing, what advice would you give to them?
Well, it really is always being an encouragement, support, and being there for them. But absolutely, it's very hidden, very secretive, and so it's a matter of first finding it and spotting it, and from there, having so much love and support in telling that person how much you care about them, that it's not their fault, but you are concerned and that you would like them to get help. And really getting across that message that it is so dangerous, because that's something many people don't realize is that it's very, very dangerous, and it will affect you for the rest of your life. And early intervention is key. And, you know, when I was about 13 is when one of my friends was bulimic. And so I was dealing with the same thing as a friend. What was I going to do? And that was when I first really began to learn about it. I started researching it and finding information. And I did realize that she could die from it. And that was huge for me. You never want to lose your friend or family member to something that can be prevented. And so it really was a battle. For years, it was a battle of, can you just go get help? Can you go see someone? Can you go to a counselor just to see? And that's the main thing, is if they continue to deny it and say nothing is wrong, tell them then go to a doctor just to make sure. You know, say, you know, I believe you, nothing's wrong, but let's go to a doctor and see if everything's okay. So that's going to be the first step. You know, there's.
I think
nothing,
that's good advice, and I think one of
right.
the things that a lot of teens maybe don't understand is that there's actually a lot of resources and programs available to help them, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. If you ever need more information, you can go to nationaleatingdisorders.org. They have specific information for friends and family members and those who are trying to get someone to get help. Also, another great resource is anad.org. Both of those websites have a lot of information for friends and family members. And again, really, you cannot cure someone. They have to get professional help. And so your role as a friend or family member is to encourage them to do that and to refer them to professional treatment. And so counselors, doctors, psychiatrists, whoever it may be, nutritionists, are great professional people that can help, because you can't do it on your own. So it really is just a matter of helping them get to those resources and finding that for them, because sometimes you do have to be the person to go research it, go find out, and then help them to it. So those are some great resources to use to find more information about that and find professional treatment providers that may be near you.
I think that's great advice. There are so many programs available. And, you know, I applaud you in your efforts to speak about this during your year as Miss America. We all know that Miss America is an icon in the American culture. And it's so amazing, the reach and the impact that you're going to have during your year. And I'm certain that many, many young men and young women who are struggling with eating disorders are going to be helped because of the work that you've done and the other young women in the Miss America and Miss America's Outstanding Teen program do on a regular basis. It's truly a pageant where making a difference isn't just a phrase, it's an actual reality. Well, today I'm visiting with Teresa Scanlon, Miss America, and sorry to tell you, but it's already time for a short break, but stay tuned. I'll be right back to talk a little bit more about what she's been doing so far and what she's got planned for the future. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio. Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on one of the best kept secrets for improving your pageant interview skills. It's my Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD, where I teach you the exact same skills and techniques that I teach my private coaching students. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, plus much, much more. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPhone. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $97. Yes, it's a quick and easy way to improve your skills for less than you paid for your interview outfit. To get yours today, just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and order yours so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.
Rain Cosmetics is the first makeup line born in Las Vegas. Inspired by the city's glamorous nightlife, and it's perfect for everyday appearances or your next pageant competition. With its richly pigmented colors and high-definition finishes, it's easy to apply and stays on for hours. For savvy makeup tips, follow Rain on Twitter and Facebook and shop for Rain Cosmetics long-wearing, photo-friendly products online at raincosmetics.com. You've never looked better.
Do you want luxurious, easy-to-style, pageant fab hair? Whether you're interested in do-it-yourself clip-ins or individual strand-by-strand bonded extensions, Sin Pretty Hair is the leading distributor of pageant hair extensions and offers the highest quality human hair extensions. Our 18-inch hair is available in 30 rich colors, including blended highlight mixes and 2 textures, beach wave and straight. Not sure what to order? Send us an email and you'll receive a complimentary 15-minute phone consultation. Visit sinprettyhair.com to get your pageant fab hair today.
Are you struggling with choosing a pageant wardrobe? Are you hoping to discover your own winning style? Meet professional model, former title holder, owner, and fashion stylist of La Casa Hermosa Gown Shop, Robin Fleming. Robin has over 25 years of experience in fashion styling, personal branding, and creating winning looks in all phases of pageant competition. Robin knows how powerful personal branding can catapult you to the crowning moment, and she and her staff have helped hundreds of women achieve their dreams. Working with the professional stylists at La Casa Hermosa, you can select wardrobe to play up your assets, create your own winning style, and set yourself apart from the crowd in each phase of the competition. Be seen as the winner at your next pageant. Visit La Casa Hermosa online at lacasahermosa.com or call today 561-301-5523 for your personal appointment. They don't just sell you a dress, they dress you to win.
Do you have a headshot that isn't quite pageant perfect? Are you dissatisfied with the touch-up job done by your photographer? At pageantretouching.com, they take the time to make your photo as beautiful as you are. Attention to detail, quality results, and customer service are the most important factors of their business. Get the polished look you're looking for without losing that natural, realistic quality. Just visit their website at pageantretouching.com and check out their before and after photos. That's pageantretouching.com.